Amen. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Well, good morning and welcome to Life Point. My name is Matthew, and I have the privilege of serving as the teaching pastor here at our Westerville campus. And if today's your first time visiting, man, we're so thankful that you chose to spend your Sunday with us. One quick thing we would ask from you, if you'll pull out your phone, you'll find a QR code on the seat back in front of you. If you'll scan that, that's going to take you to lpguest.com. You'll see a little section called Guest Info that we'd love for you to fill out. You'll also see a section called Notes that you can follow along with during today's message. This roller coaster weather is kicking my butt a bit, so you'll have to bear with me. You know, when I moved to Ohio, I was prepared for December through February. I was prepared for the cold. It was not an issue. It's been March and April that have been the problem for me, where, you know, Thursday night, we're eating dinner at a friend's house. I'm wearing shorts outside. It's great. And then I wake up this morning and it's 35 degrees. So my body's acclimating. So just bear with me today. So we are in the middle of a teaching series right now called Me and You. And during this series, we're taking a look at the different relationships that we have in our life. And although relationships can be incredibly complicated at times, they can be messy, they can be hard, we have been designed and created for them. And God has wired us to need one another. And you know, whenever you do a series like this, especially a relationships kind of series, I recognize that not every week is going to be equally relevant for everyone. Like last week, some of you were probably not super excited to hear an entire message on parenting. You're like, okay, not super helpful for me. Where for many of you, man, it's exactly what you needed to hear because that's kind of the season of life that you're in. And we have a church that is filled with people in every stage of life. And that is a good thing. That's something to celebrate. That's how the body of Christ should look. It should be multi-generational. There should be people in different stages and seasons of life in our faith community. And you know, most of the time, if we're walking through a book of the Bible together or we're doing a topical series, the message is going to be applicable kind of regardless of the stage of life. Like when we went through the book of Revelation back in the fall, it doesn't matter what your relationship status is, the message is still relevant and applies. But I do think it's important at times to speak specifically to the different groups that are represented in our church. Last week, we talked to the parents. Next week, we're going to talk to those who are married. And I think it's important to talk to these different groups, even if it means that the message may not be equally relevant for everyone in the room. Because at the end of the day, we are covering topics and issues that are found in Scripture. And if Scripture speaks to something, it's important for us to talk about. So today, we're going to talk about the often overlooked topic of singleness. And for those of you who are married, I'm going to ask right now that you not just completely check out for the next 30 minutes. Because I've tried my best this week as I've been preparing and studying and praying through this message to try to communicate this in a way where it's still relevant for everyone. Because the principles that we're going to look at today, whether you're single or married or whatever stage of life that you're in, I believe that these are relevant for all of us. So, if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. And here, Paul dedicates a pretty significant portion of chapter 7 specifically to singles. To singles for how they should live and what they should believe during this season of life. And we're going to look at a few important takeaways that we find in regards to both singleness and marriage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you're taking notes this morning, the first takeaway that we're going to see is this, is that singleness, it is a gift. Singleness is a gift. See, as Christians, as believers, I think it's important that we have a biblical view, a biblical understanding of both singleness and marriage. Because in our culture today, marriage is increasingly being viewed as a negative thing. It's seen as this burden, this hindrance that keeps you from living your life to the fullest. And kind of the idea being promoted to those in their 20s and their college years is, hey, you need to go and have fun. You need to chase your dreams. You need to sleep around. You need to go find yourself. And once you've gotten that out of your system, once you've kind of lived your life, well, then you can settle down and get married. But make sure you don't tie yourself to one person too early on in life, because they will keep you from living the life that you want. You know, Brooke and I, we got engaged when we were 21 during our final year of college. We had started dating in high school, and by the time we were getting ready to graduate, we were more than ready to get married. But I remember showing up to class the Monday after we got engaged. It was my intermediate 3 accounting class. And, you know, we had posted on Facebook over the weekend that we got engaged, and several people in my class had seen that. And I was thinking, oh, man, they're going to be excited for me. And the people in my class were like, you got engaged? Why? Like, you're 21. You're in college. Is she pregnant? Like, why are you engaged? And the tone was essentially like, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to get married so young? You have so much of your life ahead of you. And I think this view of marriage is becoming even more prevalent in our society today. In 2023, the median age for men to get married in the United States rose to 30.2, and for women, it rose to 28.4. Now, there is no right or magical age that you need to get married according to the Bible. And getting married younger does not make you more spiritual. But I think the trend that we're seeing and the numbers indicate that marriage is intentionally being delayed and put off for as long as possible, because it's viewed negatively. It's seen as a burden. And people will date, they'll hook up, they'll live together, but they want to push off and delay marriage as long as possible. But in church culture, singleness is often viewed negatively. Singleness is almost seen as this curse that you want to avoid. And the earlier you can get married, the better. Because for many young Christians, marriage is often idolized. It's seen as the be-all, end-all. And the belief is that you are incomplete. You are lacking. You are deficient as a person without a spouse. And you need to get married in order to find true satisfaction and true purpose and life. So our culture downplays marriage. They see it as a burden, and they encourage people, hey, enjoy the freedoms of singleness for as long as you possibly can. While the church views singleness negatively, it's this thing that you want to avoid, and they exaggerate the importance of marriage, that you are incomplete without it. But listen to what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. He says, I wish that all of you were as I am. Talking about being single. I wish that all of you were single as I am. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. And he's not talking about spiritual gifts here. He's talking about kind of the season of life you're in, your relationship status. Verse 8, now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say this, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And here, I think Paul is offering and providing a healthy balance and perspective of both singleness and marriage. He says that both singleness and marriage, they are gifts. They are blessings from God. And one season of life is not more important or more significant than the other. Meaning that whether you are single, you are married, you are engaged, you are widowed, the season that you are currently in, it is a gift from God. So no, it is not a bad thing to be single and unmarried. Like there isn't something wrong with you. It's not a curse or a punishment from God. No, Paul says it's a good thing. It's a gift. But at the same time, it's not a burden to be married. Like, your life is not over when you commit to another person. Marriage is this incredible gift and blessing from God. It's something that should be cherished. It's something that should be held in high esteem. And we need to have a biblical view of both singleness and marriage and to realize that they are both blessings and gifts from God. Secondly, if you're taking notes, we're going to see this, is that contentment is key. Here's what I've found in my life, and maybe you can relate. It's hard to be content in the season of life that we're in. Man, we always have our eye on what's next, on that thing that we're chasing, on that thing that we desire in the future, and we struggle to be fully present, to be fully content where we currently are. We're always chasing the next thing. And my guess for some of you today is that you don't love the season of life that you're in. Maybe you're single and you want a dating relationship, or you're dating someone and you're ready to get married, or you're married and you're ready to have kids, or you have one kid and you want more kids, or you have a lot of kids and you're ready for them to move out. You're like, come on, let's speed this process up. But you just want to skip over the season that you're currently in. Kind of just want to hit fast forward to get to what's next because you think that you'll finally be content once you get to that next season, whatever that season may be. Like, if I could just find someone to date, man, then I would be happy. Or if I could just get married, then I would be happy. Or if we could just have kids, then we would be happy. But listen to what Paul goes on to say in verse 17 of chapter 7. He says, nevertheless, each person should live like a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule that I lay down in all the churches. And notice what Paul says here. It's very interesting. He says, live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned. Which means that whatever season of life you are currently in, whether you're single, married, kids, no kids, it's not by accident. And God has placed you where you are on purpose for a purpose. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's not ignoring you. He's not punishing you. He's using the season of life that you are in right now to grow you, to refine you, to mature you. And as long as we're in the season that we're currently in, we are to pursue contentment. Paul says that we are to live as believers in whatever situation God has assigned to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with us desiring and wanting more for our life. There's nothing wrong with praying and asking for God to bless us with a spouse or to bless us with children or to change the situation that we're currently in. It's okay to want and to desire more for your life. But don't rush through the season that you're currently in. Man, don't miss what God wants to do in your life and through your life while you are where you currently are. Don't have your eyes so fixated on what's next that you miss what God is doing right now. Contentment is key in every season of life that we face, every season of life that we live through. Number three is that singleness has its advantages. I love this quote from author Eric Jorgensen. I feel like it's very, very relatable for many of us. He says, when you're young, you have time. You have health, but you have no money. When you're middle-aged, you have money and you have health, but you have no time. When you're old, you have money and you have time, but you have no health. You see, every season of life has its own unique set of challenges and advantages. And the reality is there's never going to be a season in life where you just have it all and where everything is perfect. There will always be obstacles and frustrations. There will always be things that you lack and wish you had more of. There will always be things that you wished were different no matter what season of life you're in. And the same is true when it comes to our relationship status. Both singleness and marriage have their own set of challenges and advantages. But here's the problem. We tend to focus all of our attention, all of our energy on the challenges, on the things that we don't like, on the things that we don't have, on the things that we wished were different. And this tends to produce a lot of frustration, a lot of bitterness in our life. And it creates this negativity bias where we only begin to see the things that we don't like, the things that we're unhappy with. We start to grow frustrated and discouraged about the season of life that we're in. And we miss out on the fact that the season we're in has so many advantages to it. Which is why I think we need to change our perspective. And rather than focusing on the challenges and the limitations of our current season of life, we need to begin to focus on the advantages that our season of life brings. And that's what Paul is trying to help singles to do here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Hey, stop looking at the negatives, the disadvantages, the things you don't like, and see the opportunities that you have. In verse 28, Paul says this. He says, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. And some of you in your head right now are saying, amen. Amen. That's a good word, Paul. Verse 32, he says this. He's talking to singles. He says, I would like you to be free from concern because an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests, they're divided. They're split. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman, she's concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. So Paul is saying, yes, singleness, it has its challenges. It can be lonely at times. And Paul fully understood this. He was single his entire life. But he also recognized that singleness has its own set of advantages, that there is a freedom and a flexibility that comes with being single, because you don't have the same concerns and responsibilities and constraints that you have when you have a spouse and when you have kids. So let me speak for a moment just to those of you who maybe you're in high school, you're in college, you're in your 20s, and you're not yet married. You will never have more time and freedom than you do right now. Because once you get married, and especially once you have kids, that freedom, it is gone. It's over. Your time, your schedule, your money belong to someone else. Because you are now responsible for meeting the needs of another person. There will never be more freedom and flexibility than in your life right now. And this is something that our culture has recognized. They see the advantages of being single, which is why they're telling people, hey, delay marriage, enjoy the benefits and freedom of singleness as long as possible. But here's where they get it wrong. They make that freedom all about themselves. It becomes all about, hey, travel and fun and pleasure and adventure. It's all about, hey, pursue your dreams, pursue your interests. Don't think about anybody except for yourself. But here's what Paul is trying to help us to see here. He's saying, look, that freedom, it's not for our own benefit. That freedom belongs to the Lord. He says an unmarried man, a single man, is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. An unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord. which means that we are to leverage our freedom. We are to use our freedom, not for our own benefit, but for the sake of the Lord. You know, a few weeks ago, several of our staff from LifePoint, from our various campuses, we went on a vision trip over to London. And while we were there, we were connecting with several different missionaries and pastors who are living there and serving there, trying to figure out who we could develop a partnership with so we could start to send teams there in the future. And while we're on this trip, we met this man named Terry. And I've got a picture of him this morning. He's the gentleman on the far left. You see myself and Mark there and a couple of our other staff members. And Terry, he kind of served as our tour guide for the week and was our point of introduction to a number of different pastors and missionaries in the London area. But as we hung out with Terry, I got to hear a bit of his story. So Terry served as a pastor here in the States for many years. He had a very successful ministry career. He was a lead pastor of a good-sized church. But after 30-plus years of marriage, he went through a very unexpected divorce. His wife let him know one day that she no longer wanted to be married. And while he was walking through this kind of messy divorce, he felt like it would be best to step down from serving as a pastor. And when he resigned from his role, he kind of assumed at his age and what he was going through, that his time in ministry was done. And that season, that chapter of life was over. So he began to visit and just attend churches just as a single guy. And while he was visiting a church, he heard about this opportunity to go on a mission trip to London. And now that he was single and he wasn't working full-time, he had a lot more freedom, a lot more flexibility. So he decided, you know, why not? I'm going to sign up and I'm going to go on this mission trip to London. And while he was on this trip, God made it clear to him that this was where he wanted him full-time. God was calling him to spend his retirement years serving the Lord in London. Now, I'm sure that Terry would have never chosen this path for himself, right? Like he probably never envisioned being divorced after 30-plus years of marriage, stepping out of full-time ministry as a pastor. And, you know, after serving as a pastor for all those years and being in full-time ministry and going through a divorce, it would have been really easy for him to say, you know what, I'm just going to retire and I'm just going to focus on myself. I'm going to spend time with my kids, spend time with my grandkids. I'm just going to take it easy. And if he did that, none of us would blame him for that. We would say, hey, I completely understand. You've served the Lord for so many years. You know, you've gone through this traumatic experience. Hey, just enjoy your retirement. Take it easy. Focus on yourself. But Terry has chosen to use his retirement years to serve the Lord in London, where he's investing in churches, he's investing in younger pastors, he's investing in other missionaries. He's taking full advantage of the season of life that he's in. And he's leveraging this freedom that he has, not for himself, but for the kingdom of God. Listen, when you're single, when you're widowed, when you're an empty nester, there's a freedom that comes with that. A freedom that doesn't exist during other seasons of life. And although you may not have chosen the season of life that you're in, it may not be how you envisioned and pictured your life, you have the unique opportunity to serve the Lord. As Paul says, to be undivided in your devotion to him. And look, I don't know what this may look like for you. Maybe it means using your time to serve the church or to serve a local ministry or organization. Maybe it means being more generous with the resources God has blessed you with. Maybe it even means serving the Lord full-time on the mission field. I don't know what it looks like. But whatever it is, Don't waste the season of life that you are in. Choose to leverage your freedom, your flexibility, not for your own good, not for your own comfort, but for the sake of the Lord. Listen, every season of life, your school years, college, newlywed, young kids, older kids, grandparents, widowed, divorced, every season of life has its challenges, has its drawbacks, has its limitations, but it also has its advantages. And we need to lean into those advantages, those opportunities that God has placed in our life wherever we may be right now. Singleness has its advantages. And finally, number four, marriage is good, but it's not eternal. You know, it's easy to read 1 Corinthians 7 and to think that Paul is against marriage, that he doesn't want us to get married, that it's a bad thing to pursue, that we shouldn't focus on it. But Paul, he's not anti-marriage. He's not discouraging us from looking for a spouse or getting married, because listen to what he writes in verse 36. He says, if anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. And Paul is saying, look, marriage is good. It's a gift from God. It's something that we should pursue. It's great. But ultimately, marriage should not be the ultimate aim and goal for our life, because marriage will not complete us, and marriage will not fulfill us. Listen, if there is an emptiness, if there is a void in your life, a spouse won't be able to fill that. If there's brokenness in your life, a spouse won't be able to fix that. And I've seen so many marriages that have just crumbled because they go in with this expectation of, this person is going to complete me, this person is going to fix me, this person's going to solve all of the problems. And when they don't, they're disappointed and they think, man, I chose the wrong person. There must be somebody else out there who can. And listen, if you're married today, your spouse cannot meet your deepest needs and desires. And it's unfair to expect them to do that. You're putting a pressure, a weight on them that they were never intended to bear. And here's why they can't fill that void that you have in your heart and in your soul. Because we are eternal, and marriage isn't. We are eternal beings, and the marriage relationship is not. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 12:25, and this may be new to many of you. He says, when the dead rise, talking about when Jesus returns, and the second resurrection happens, when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Doesn't mean we will be angels, but we will be like angels in the sense that we will not marry. When Jesus returns and we receive our resurrected bodies and we are united with him forever, we will not be given to marriage, because our earthly marriages have already fulfilled their purpose. Marriage is meant to be a picture of the coming marriage. The marriage between Jesus and his bride, the marriage between Jesus and the church. And Revelation gives us a picture, gives us a glimpse of this coming marriage. In Revelation chapter 19, John writes this. He says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Listen, marriage, it is an incredible gift from God. it's a good thing to pursue. And next week, we're going to spend our time talking about that. But it's not eternal. It doesn't last forever. But you are. You have been designed and created by God to live forever, and God is the only one who can meet the deepest needs and desires of your heart. That is the relationship that you have been created to be in forever, which means that you and I, we are not ultimately defined by our earthly relationship status, by whether we're single or married or divorced or widowed, because our identity as people is not found in another person. It's not found in a human relationship. We are defined by our relationship with Christ. And one day, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to return for his bride, the church, believers. And when Jesus returns, we will either be united with him forever or we will be separated from him forever. And that hinges on one thing. What have we done with Jesus? Have we turned to Jesus for our salvation? Have we looked to him to rescue us from our sins, to give us his free gift of eternal life, or have we rejected him and looked to someone or something else to fulfill us, to save us, to rescue us? Marriage is good, but it's not eternal. We have been created for a relationship with God that will exist forever. He is the only one who can meet the deepest needs and desires of our heart. And this morning, as we wrap up our time, we're going to look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, whenever we share in communion or the Lord's Supper together, the Bible encourages us to look in a number of different directions. We are to look inward at our heart. Is there unconfessed sin in our life? Is there a broken relationship with another brother or sister in Christ? Is there an area of surrender that we've been holding on to? We look inward and figure out, man, is there something I need to get right with God? We look back. The Bible tells us that when we take the Lord's Supper, we look back to what Jesus did on the cross, when his body was broken, when his blood was poured out so that you and I could be made right with God. We look back to the cross. But we also look forward with expectation to the coming of Christ, the fact that Jesus is coming back for us, and we will partake together in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be with God forever. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I'm going to give you a few moments now to take some time to reflect and to look inward, to look back to the cross, and to look forward to when Jesus comes again. And then I'll lead us together in the Lord's Supper. As we get ready to take the Lord's Supper together, we ask that only those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus partake with us today. So you can take out the piece of bread. Jesus, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And you can remove the covering from the juice. Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So, Father, we thank you for this act that you have called us to do and to repeat until your second coming. As we reflect on what you did on the cross on our behalf, dying in our place, and Lord, we look forward with expectation to your return. When we are with you forever, where you will be our God, we will be your people, we will see you face to face. Nothing will separate us anymore. And Lord, we know that our relationship with you is the only one that can truly satisfy us, God, the desires, the needs, Lord, of our heart, of our soul. Lord, I know we're tempted to look for that in so many other places and so many other people, whether it's a spouse, friendships, children, parents. Lord, you are the only one who satisfies us, God. So today, help us to remember, Lord, that while these gifts you have given us are good, family is good, marriage is good, children are good, God, these relationships, they're not eternal. They don't last forever. But Lord, we are, and you are. And one day we will be with you again. We will see you face to face, and Lord, and we look forward to that day with joy and expectation. So Father, we love you, and we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.